Yo, 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 oh, oh. Listen, goose of bad sources. You should have waited. You premature ejaculated. Max is just a character. You grief stricken. You want the cornet fired over a bucket of chicken. Yo. Kidding me? You think it's cause of woke? Then take a toke. AEW's hustling you. They're in on the joke. Soon you'll see the truth about the biz. Be prepared to wipe off that all elite jizz. Oh.
Enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW.
Welcome to the party! Oh my God! That's your coming, Sammy!
NXT.
It's over! Cross is here to ransack NXT's soul!
And indie wrestling. It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait. And now, your host, Don Tony.
Yo, 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 yo. Oh man, I needed to be in a good mood today. Oh boy. Yo. Oh man. Big Armada. Spitting bars. Nah. Spitting saliva. I'm a middle-aged white boy Italian. I ain't no rapper. I could do the human beatbox, though. I used to be doing it. I used to be able to do it. I can't do it right now. Good evening, everybody. It is Wednesday night, August 11th, 2021. Welcome to the 100th Wednesday Night Dynamite. 100 episodes already. It's been fun. It's been fun. Looking forward to the next 100. We just started, folks. We just started. I want to thank you all for tuning in tonight. Let everybody get a little situated. Just finished what I thought was a damn good edition of AEW Dynamite. Personally, though, AEW Dynamite tonight was about one person. Mike Seidel. No. Dante Martin. Coming out party tonight. Man, did he kill it. I want to see Dante Martin get a singles title run down the line in the near future. Seriously, I'm not kidding. Rojo Bear 24 hopes that AEW signs Daniel Garcia and Wheeler Utah. Now, before I go into anything, Wheeler Utah, did you see the funny news report going around today? Hey, our sources tell Fightful that back in May, when Wheeler Utah got a tryout match with WWE, that when he was declined, that was the beginning of the changeover. NXT changing the way they hire. I didn't know that the Performance Center was strictly to go to NXT. Wait till you see the Nevada signings. Wait till you see the signings 3 months from now. Wait till you see NXT a month from now. You're going to realize you're getting clickbaited all over again. Triple H, out of power for over a year. Ooh, sure, the stockholders investing in hundreds of millions of dollars would love to know that. So people don't think about common sense and logic. They just want that emotional tweet, that emotional comment. First of all, Wheeler Utah had one tryout appearance in WWE. I've gone to work and sucked up the joint. I've done shows and did a piss poor job. I played high school football and high school baseball, and I struck out and got tackled a couple of times. Not everybody knocks it out of the park when they get a tryout. I've been on job interviews. I've mingled with the ladies over the years. And as they say in basketball, rejected. I mean, Willie Uta could have stunk up the joint, back in May. And, you know, I was thinking about this. Why didn't they tell you this in May? Kind of funny how it comes out now once you hear all this NXT garbage. You know what was amazing yesterday? That was amazing. It's tonight's show, by the way. Even though I got 4 pages of notes, tonight's show, I don't even think I need much of my notes. NXT, you heard for the last 2 weeks. You even see quotes now. Quotes! No more midgets. No more midgets in NXT. And no more hiring people in their 30s trying to become a wrestler. Yeah. You wait. WWE's been doing that formula for how many decades? And you're going to change that formula because a developmental program got blindsided, got off track because of AEW being on Wednesday nights? Back in February of 2020, I said to everybody out there that NXT and WWE are really, really making a big mistake right now. They could say that AEW is not competition. AEW could say that they're not competition. But boy, are they changing a lot of NXT. It felt like a lot of WWE shit. Championship match, somebody gets attacked in the back. No match. William Regal started looking like a goof, doing a lot of dopey shit. AEW was on Wednesdays kicking ass, and NXT got blindsided, fell off track. They had to go back to their roots. Going back to their roots does not mean that WWE is killing NXT. NXT yesterday, excuse me, when I pull up my notes, 751,000. I don't compare it to last week or the week before because that was on Sci-Fi. But before they had to go to Sci-Fi for 2 weeks, not a bad number. Not a bad number for a promotion that's killed. I don't even know what the fuck that means, killed. You know, it was amazing with Vince getting so deeply involved. Major changes, major releases, no midgets. And the first match we had yesterday, Dakota Kai in the match versus Saray. Saray and Dakota Kai combined with a total combined weight less than me. Pretty amazing, don't you think? Midgets open up the show. Don't buy into that stuff, everybody. Don't buy into it. I'm telling you. You know, some goof on Discord the other day said a DT is at a war with people online. Make this clear. I don't give a fuck about these people online. I care about everybody who tunes into my stuff. And I don't like it when you're fed bullshit over and over again. When you're filled with emotional clickbait titles and tweets and the shit, the complaining, the whining. It's so passionate. It's believable. Be a wrestling fan first. If you're a wrestling fan first, you will enjoy it 1,000 times more than a lot of these other people out there. They don't want WWE to get better. They don't want NXT to get better. If they can't stand AEW, they don't want AEW to get better. Because without that negativity, they have nothing. It's like all these news networks with Trump. You know, Trump is gone. And now, I mean, you see all the clickbait, this stuff. Oh, the vaccine does this. The virus does this. The virus doesn't do that. The virus does this. No wonder why a lot of people don't want to get vaccinated. Nobody knows the fucking truth. So tonight, for me, Dante Martin stole the show. Props. Enjoyed it tremendously. Really enjoyed it. Crowd loved it too. Pittsburgh, or shall I say Britsburg. I think Christian screwed up tonight. When Christian was making fun of Don Callis, and he said, no, we're in Pittsburgh. First, I think he called him a carny piece of shit. And then he said, no, we're in Pittsburgh. I think he called him a jack-off. I think he meant jag-off. Isn't it J-A-G-O-F-F? I've had a few people from Pittsburgh over the years call me a jag-off. What the hell's a jag-off? Then I Googled it, and I'm like, okay, that's not a compliment. Before I go any further, a couple of things important for those that tune in every week. Number one, effective immediately, the shows are going to be a lot tighter. I mean, obviously, I have to get used to it, but the shows are going to be a lot tighter. The 3.5 hour shows have to go put aside for a little while. I got sick last week, very, very run down. And I think I had a total of 7 hours sleep in 3.5 days. And it caught up to me. I slept Friday night like a baby. I slept Saturday night like a baby. I felt great. I couldn't even talk Friday. And I had to post video online so people could hear my voice to see I wasn't making it up. I'm approaching my 50s. And doing 2.5 hours on Monday, 2.5 hours on Tuesday, 2.5 hours on Wednesday, 3 hours on Thursday, 2.5 hours on Friday. And then the weekends, trying to balance it out with my fiance and my two parents that are not in great health. Then trying to have my own, responsibilities. It's too much. So shows aren't going anywhere, but they are going to be condensed a little bit. There's no reason why we have to analyze every little detail about every little match. The overall consensus discussion. Now, also this Friday is the debut of AEW Rampage. A couple of big matches announced. Obviously, Red Velvet versus Britt Baker, which is going to be the main event. All right, I don't have any problem with that. Britt Baker in Pittsburgh. It was very, very smart for AEW tonight to not have Rebel alongside Britt Baker. I don't care if Rebel, had flight delays, personal matter, stuck in the bathroom. They decided not to bring it. No, you have to have a little bit more of a concise, position for Britt Baker. Yeah, she could still be the baddest bitch on the block. But Britt Baker, you can't have Tony Schiavone smiling. And just because they're in Pittsburgh, you're waving towels. You have to be clear and concise. She's got to be more of a baby face. I'm telling you, it's mixed messages. That's why the Rebel stuff is going to be really, really interesting to see where they go with this. Because, not only is Rebel play the role of a heel in this, but she sucks at it as well. I mean, seriously, I think somebody with no arms could swing a crutch better than her. She's not very good. No, Twix, you think I'm joking, Twix. Watch. Think I'm kidding. It's not a joke. Now, I'm not going to get a stroke because I can't manage the shows a little tighter. But thank you anyway. Now, let's talk a little bit about AEW tonight right off the bat. We'll talk a little bit about NXT. And then I want to just talk a little bit about the last week and a half for AEW, which has not been a good week. I mean, obviously, people out there, just want to be wrestling fans. And I totally get it. But you also got to be a little bit cautious and a little bit aware of some of the things that are going on in AEW that really need to be addressed. I mean, obviously, the gushers online are not going to address this. Some of this stuff is pretty serious because AEW is still a new company. And AEW is still creating an identity. And trust me, if AEW starts, if you listen to that goofy, dumb rap that I said at the beginning of the show, it's true. I mean, if you really start thinking about it, sooner or later, you're going to understand that AEW This is the wrestling business. This isn't woke business. Nobody behind the scenes are angels. You know, they're business people, and they're trying to run a wrestling promotion. And you got to be so awfully careful when you make remarks, Hulk Hogan is not wanted at any of our shows. Okay, cool. No problem. But when some of your talented wrestlers get accused of some horrible stuff, you can't just sweep it under the rug because somebody is getting a little bit of a push. You can't, you know, there's only so many times that you could play that naive, oh, I was in the back. I had no idea what was going on. Yeah, you get away with it on Busted Open Radio because they want Tony Khan to come back. That makes sense. You get away with it with a lot of the people out there that are just like, they'll orgasm if they get a like from somebody in AEW. But sooner or later, people are going to get smart to it. Daly's place, just look up the building. Behind the scenes, they have loudspeakers everywhere. Max Caster was on a microphone. He wasn't just yelling into the crowd without a microphone. Anything that's done over a microphone is blasted over the speakers. We brought up a week ago that nobody in AEW found it offensive. And if they did, they didn't have the balls to step up. Not one person in AEW, not the almighty Catholic, you know, whatever, you know, just good, everything goody. Sting doesn't find that offensive. Other people in the company, nobody, look, there's nothing personal against the guy. I'm just making a point. Nobody in that company, and I'm sorry for repeating this, went up to Tony Khan in 7 days that they were backstage, that they heard it, heard other people. QT Marshall, meet Dave Lagana, QT Marshall and others that edit this show. They watched every second of it. They put it on YouTube. For 7 days, they saw no problem with what Max Caster said. This is like what I said a week ago. This is the Jim Cornette situation all over again. Dave Lagana tried to play off that, oh, you know, I didn't realize. Yeah, okay. Dave Lagana had no problem with the comment. It was taken down after the internet had an outrage over it. The difference is, here's the difference, is that when Jim Cornette did it, wasn't it? I don't know if it was live. I don't think it was live. No, it wasn't live. But when Jim Cornette said that, you know, it doesn't make it better, but Jim Cornette threw a line that he has said 1,000 times before and it's outdated. Do you know, a lot of people out there to this day do not know why Simone Biles pulled out of the Olympics? Chat room. I want to give a little shout out to the first person that could bring it up. Why did Simone Biles pull out of the Olympics or the first time? Was it because of pressure? Was it because of, you know, the stress of I got to win the gold medal? What was the emotional trauma? The emotional trauma. Mental health. Okay, so obviously these guys have no idea what I'm talking about. What was the mental health issue? What traumatized her? What traumatized her? I want to see in the chat room right now. I want to see if anybody out there ever bothered to understand and find out what exactly was bothering not one person. Rockstar Wolf says her aunt passed away. Let's see. Twisties. Yeah, the Twisties. Why don't you look up a little bit of her history and flashbacks that she had many, many years ago. See, nobody knows. Nobody knows. And when you think about AEW doing an event and raising money for victims of rape and everything else, thank you. I know this is, it certainly doesn't look like Mike Awesome. Yeah. That piece of shit that is in jail, I think he's in jail. He's got to be in jail. Of course, I'm. When I say that, I mean, like, I don't think he's dead. But, yeah, remember that coach, that Olympic coach that molested tons of people? Yeah, she was one of them. Oh, yeah, I'm speculating. Franchise, go tune into someone else's show, please. We have real serious conversation here. So you had AEW do an event where they're raising money for victims of rape and assault. And you got Max Caster cracking jokes about Duke Lacrosse, even though they were off the hook. What were they accused of? Rape. And I'm sorry, Dave Meltzer says, oh no, he's just a character. Well, what the fuck did Triple H do with the fucking coffin? You know, banging a corpse, throwing chop meat at it. He's just a character. Whenever you see something on TV, it's just a character. I can't believe they did that. He's just a character. That's no fucking excuse. It's no fucking excuse. Because this is AEW. See, what's starting to get put together here is this. You see Domino's? See Domino's? And look, let me make this clear. Do I think Max Caster should be suspended? No. I don't think he should be suspended. If there's any problem with Max Caster, his nonchalant response to some people on social media when people started to complain, that I kind of have a problem with. But forget Max Caster for a minute. I want to bring up two more things, and we might as well just finish this now and get it out of the way. Domino's Pizza, okay? And again, I understand as wrestling fans, we don't want to think about things like this, but here's my point. Domino's Pizza, pissed off about Nick Gage with the pizza cutter. Okay, fine. Look, AEW made a mistake. I totally am 100% behind that. Then you have wrestlers, and I will leave them anonymous, but big-time wrestlers. Actually, most of them weren't on TV tonight. A bunch of wrestlers in AEW or coming off the AEW show are all publicly on video basically saying, fuck you, Domino's. Fuck you, Domino's. I don't like Domino's Pizza. I didn't like the bullshit they did to Morton Downey Jr. in the late 80s when I was a fan of his show. So let me make this clear. I'm not a Domino's fan, but you have to understand this. Domino's is a big advertiser for Warner Media. Do you remember? A lot of people don't even remember this. Do you remember, like, last year that Warner Media had a big turnover in the executive department, and the person who was largely responsible in Warner Media to get AEW on TNT was gone? Do you remember that a lot of fans were a little bit concerned, oh my God, what if this new regime doesn't want AEW and this and that? Do you all truthfully think that the people that work in Warner Media are like this with Tony Khan? Do you think that they absolutely love everything about AEW and the hardcore and all this other stuff? You have Domino's Pizza, who is a big sponsor in Warner Media. Forget AEW for a minute. Warner Media. And they're upset because they're a pizza commercial and there's somebody carving somebody's head with a pizza. I love hardcore wrestling. I fucking worked for XPW and saw it up close and personal. Trust me, breathing in dust from light tubes because of Supreme and Angel, the hardcore homo, was not fun. Memorable, but not fun. Go back and watch the footage. You'll see it. Not fun from the rings, the timekeeper's table. I love hardcore wrestling. Not saying I didn't like the match. But you have these wrestlers on social media, even Nick Gage. Fuck you, Domino's. Pass blue beer. You know, Tony Khan's got to get a little bit of a grasp on this. Because I don't see AEW really speaking up and telling these wrestlers, look, you could say what you want and everything, but, you know, that's an advertiser for Warner Media, and we don't want to piss off Warner Media in any way, shape, or form right now. I mean, if you see where I'm going with this, Darby Allin, the big news this week, Holly Cromwell, I think that's her name, right? Yeah, Holly Cromwell. Now, this came out a year ago, but she didn't mention Darby Allin by name. Something happened about a week ago. A video was posted or a comment was made, and it really, really pissed her off. And she went back online and reposted stuff from a year ago, accusing someone of some mental abuse, being treated like shit, and even making comments that Darby Allin, well, she didn't name Darby Allin at the time, like manipulated her into sex. You have to sleep with me because of this. You have to do this because of that. Now, let's be honest. I don't know the truth. You don't know the truth. And I believe, you know, that people are innocent until proven guilty. And it's very, very difficult to prove these things. You know, you emotionally traumatize someone with your mouth, not with tweets and texts that could be retrieved. You know, it's very hard to prove that unless the person is caught in the act. So I don't know what the truth is with Darby Allin. But the thing is you read this stuff and you see a woman coming out, especially with the speaking out stuff. You see this woman coming out and she's making some pretty stark accusations. And it just gets tossed under the rug by most people out there because they absolutely love Darby Allin's work right now. Again, I'm not throwing Darby Allin under the bus in no way, shape, or form. And if you look, if you want to pause this later on, you know, this is a little bit of what she said last year. And for those on audio only, you know, I apologize. I don't want to read the whole thing right now because I know most of you out there are really not, you know, this is not what you want to sit for 10 minutes to hear. But if you actually look, hang on a second. Yeah, if you look at some of these comments, I'll read you one paragraph. He would threaten to leave me if I didn't have sex with him or do sexual things, perform sexual acts with him. It took me a long time to realize that threatening someone to have sex with you isn't consent. It's rape. She's making rape allegations. Jay Carlos, thank you very much, my brother. Thank you very much. I will answer your question in a moment. I really appreciate that. Thank you very much, as always, my brother. I will definitely, because that actually could wrap up this conversation, what you're asking me right now. But, you know, to make matters worse, when she made those accusations last week, Neera Faye, much love, my friend. Neera, I did find your email and I read it. I don't think that's something we could do on Thursdays. I'll explain tomorrow, but thank you very much, my friend. Yeah, one last thing. Priscilla Kelly, Gigi Dolan. Priscilla Kelly made this response last year. Now, sure, I mean, obviously, you know, it's a little different now, it's a year later, but if you read Priscilla Kelly's response, you know, basically the way Darby Allin's ex-girlfriend, Holly, interprets it, that unless you're violently, physically raped, you know, like grabbed and assaulted physically, that what happened to this girl is not rape. I mean, again, I believe you are innocent until proven guilty, and I honestly don't know what the truth is. But the point is that AEW had a horrible week, a horrible week. On TV, you would not have thought anything of it. And honestly, I thought tonight was the best way to divert some of what's going on. If anything, tonight proved you don't need the light tubes. You don't need the extreme dissing of, you know, people like Simone Biles or making jokes about rape. You don't have to fat shame people in the crowd. You don't have to make fun of special needs people. You could be edgy and you could be an asshole. But if AEW is going to come off like Cody and everybody else, wearing white and saying how, you know, that they believe in everybody on the roster, equal pay. Remember that? You know, equal pay. You know, everybody's the same tier or whatever it is. And you start thinking about all this PSA stuff, you know, from, yeah. Remember 3 years ago, the Young Bucks? Yes, we would love to give everybody health care. And that's our goal. The hell are you talking about? I work in the insurance field for 23 years. Unless they're employees of AEW, you can't provide them health care. You can't. You can't. They have to get their own health care. You want to reimburse them for what they pay, that's different. But unless you're an employee, can't get health care in AEW's policy. I mean, that's just fact. So, you know, you tease this, you know, like, we're a good company, we're good people, we're family, we look out for each other, we don't tolerate abuse, we don't tolerate hate, we don't tolerate this, we don't tolerate that. But when we do it on TV, we're just characters. And when Tony Khan gets caught, it's the babe in the woods excuse. That ridiculously stupid tweet from 2 years ago, year and a half ago. Major surprise, AEW blockbuster. Oh, we're going to Jacksonville. Pissed off 75% of their AEW fan base worldwide. And Tony Khan, instead of calling whoever, he posts a tweet. Hey, AEW, you gotta be better at this. Yeah, sure, they posted that without your permission. But he gets a pass. Max Caster always goes to Tony Khan. Hey, this is what I want to say tonight. But for that particular one time that Max Caster really took it over the edge. Oh, no, I was in the back with my fingers in my ears. They had a bad week. They got to be careful. Think about the turnover with WarnerMedia's management. And think about all the fans that were very, very concerned a year ago that maybe WarnerMedia, the new management, maybe they're not, you know, as fond of AEW, because the most important person in Warner that was responsible for getting AEW on TNT is gone. So you see a WarnerMedia, big advertiser, getting hazed by all these wrestlers online. And yes, it's cool. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. How do you think Warner Media feels about all of this? Tony Khan, the Babe in the Woods thing, you're getting away with it right now. And a lot of other people who have this perception that they're wonderful people and they don't tolerate this and they don't tolerate that and they don't tolerate this. And as time goes by, yeah, we're family, you know. But we want to use the middle finger. All we want, to say bullshit and all these other expletives, which I like. Don't get me wrong. But you see all the things they're doing on TV. Does that look like, you know, like somebody that doesn't tolerate things? They're trying to be ECW with priests and nuns behind the scenes. It's going to backfire. I'm telling you, it's going to backfire. You have CM Punk. By the way, did you all see this? I have no idea why CM Punk went on this show. But props to Sunday night's main event. If I was WWE right now, if there was a way to go after them because it looks too much like the Saturday night's main event logo, I don't know if they have it trademarked, but especially after doing this interview, if I was WWE, I would fuck with them and say, hey, you're not allowed to use our logo. It looks too much like our logo. No. Let me, he did not look, he may look bored in that screenshot. I tried to get like the perfect screenshot. The problem is when CM Punk was talking and looked, you know, connected, the guy's looking down. Look at this way. Look at that. It was very hard to get them both looking at the camera at the same time. If you see, kind of looks like, it reminds me of Sam Roberts. But anyway, CM Punk did that. And if it wasn't bad, they asked him point blank, you going to be in Chicago August 20th? Oh, I might have to do heels. You know, what is it? Showtime Heels, that new TV series. I might have to do an appearance, something like that. We're on the verge of CM Punk and Daniel Bryan in AEW. You might have others coming in as well. AEW, no matter how decent the rating gets, they have to be a little bit more careful and they have to tighten the ship. And they have to address, especially the people that go on social media and cursing out advertisers that are WarnerMedia, not AEW. He's got to really start reeling some people in. And going on Busted Open Radio and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Anybody believe that? I don't believe it. What was was there any ramifications for QT Marshall or whoever was doing the production? How could you think that something like this could get by? Nothing whatsoever. But Hugo Savinovic, Dushida, that is ultimately offensive, fired on the spot. That's because Hugo Savinovic was expendable. Other people are not. And that's why they get a pass. And because we, as wrestling fans, and this is no knock on anyone, we as wrestling fans just want an entertaining product. You know, we try to ignore this noise. But you can't have it on both sides, especially that comment from Dave Meltzer. And I love Meltzer. I subscribe to his newsletter. He's great. You know, there's no reason why he can't respectfully disagree, but to just write it off that Max Caster is playing an edgy heel. Oh, sure. Sure. Then nothing is out of bounds. This is AEW. This is supposed to be family and management and good people and this and that. We don't tolerate this and don't tolerate that. But we tolerate it and hide behind he was being a character or I was in the back taking a shit and I had no idea. I was drying my hands in the bathroom and they have like this really cool electric dryer. You stick your hands on it. You don't even have to push a button, especially with COVID. You wash your hands. Why would you want to push a dryer after you just washed your hands? So you just put your hands on it and it makes this loud. And I couldn't hear not. Yeah, I don't think so, Tony Khan. Obviously, I'm exaggerating, but so CM Punk did an interview. You know, I mean, we're only seeing him from the neck up. I mean, what did you think he was going to look like? You think he was going to have like, you know, like the Forrest Gump beard when he was jogging in Forrest Gump? You think that he looks the same? You know, there are reports that he is impressing people in the ring. Look, CM Punk does not have to do what he did 10 years ago. All CM Punk has to do is bring his mouth and do enough to entertain the fans. Look at Jericho tonight. Jericho took on Wardlow. And this is now where I go rapido. Jericho took on Wardlow tonight. Wardlow, 8 power bombs. Blah, 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 blah. MJF trying to get involved. You have Aubrey Edwards catch him, ejected. For some reason, she's got to watch him not only walk down the rampway, but walk in the back and go into the locker room and take a shower. Why continued looking? Because Jericho is taking his sweet-ass time to take the bat out from, you know, from, I guess, under the ring, you know, and hits Wardlow with it and then hits the Judas effect. 1, 2, 3. Jericho did almost nothing in that match. I mean, look, taking 8 power bombs from Wardlow, it's got to hurt a little bit. You see, you could have a match, if it's told the right way, you don't have to do all that much. CM Punk does not have to have 5-star matches to give us what we want, give us what we need, entertain the shit out of us. AEW is about to have some kick-ass momentum with those two guys coming in. And then if you see Ruby Soho come in there, and now you got Thunder Rosa under a deal, and there's rumors about some other people being signed. You know, this is, I truthfully believe the next 6 months for AEW is critical. Not just ratings, not just what they put on the TV, not just the pay-per-view buy rate, but what goes on around it as well. Because you start pissing off advertisers, you start pissing off networks, what's going to happen? Is Tony Khan going to turn heel and be a character on TV? And because the news is so, you know, rampant that Warner Media is not happy with AEW, that because he's a character on TV, he'll play heel and just trash them? You think that's the way to fix it? They got to be really careful. They really got to be careful. Remember this conversation because it's a lot more serious than you think. And you know my history. I don't do that unless it's a fact. And the NXT stuff, like I said, you got to stay away from these people feeding you that crap. So anyway, let's talk about Dynamite tonight. Yes, I have some notes because I don't want to leave anything out. But the opening match tonight, we had Mike and Matt Sydal teaming up with Dante Martin versus Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. I mean, this was your typical opening match with the Young Bucks that we have seen over the last 2 years. But Dante Martin stole the show. I mean, yes, if you pay close attention, people are setting up for moves. There's an extra half a second or a second waiting to be hit with something. But, man, that guy's ceiling is so high right now. That guy has a wonderful, wonderful future. Now, he's got to be careful, too, because some of these moves, you could see it's, you know, I mean, some of it is uber risky, and it's not needed. Just countering Kenny Omega tonight, I mean, you can't pipe that in. Just seeing Darius Martin flip backwards and hearing that crowd go, oh, you know, it's not even an offensive move. It's a defensive move. It's a counter. Crowd ate it up, man. He's just awesome. It's not, Darren, it's not curtain jerkers. Please, not on this show. Not on this show. You just want to be entertained. Doesn't matter who opens the show, who's in the middle, and who closes it out. As long as you enjoyed yourself and it was great entertainment, that's all that should matter. I just, we're so way past, why is he opening up the show? You know, if they're doing it because they want to hook someone in and try to keep them hooked in, yeah, that's why you do it. You could tell when someone is being used in a certain way. Case in point. Let's throw it out there now. Christian Cage, not one, two championship matches against Kenny Omega. This Friday on Rampage, Christian Cage takes on Kenny Omega for the Impact Wrestling Championship. Now, it's the opening match. You and I have been having this conversation for months now. That if you read between the lines, if you are as aware and you're observant as many others are here, you could tell that AEW is taking whatever they can from Impact Wrestling, but when it's time to give it back to a lot of these promotions, it seems like they're not giving, being as reciprocal. Nothing against Layla Hirsch. Nothing whatsoever. And yes, I was wrong last week when I said AEW has no footprint on the NWA Women's Pay-Per-View. Yes, Layla Hirsch will be on it. But when you see the level, Thunder Rosa coming into AEW while she was under NWA deal, Ricky Starks coming into early on, coming into AEW under NWA deal, and you see others, and now it's time for AEW to give back. Yeah, we'll give you Layla Hirsch. And we'll give you Layla Hirsch. Impact Wrestling. Impact Wrestling. You have Tony Khan and him showing up on the show because they're not stupid. Impact Wrestling's ratings are in the toilet. So we go on the show, cut a pre-recorded promo. You know, we have the young guys, Private Party, have a match. You know, get them a little bit of work, a little extra pay. And meanwhile, you get Gallows and Anderson. Kenny Omega is the champion. Don Callis, who is now a permanent in AEW. And you see all this side. You've yet to see one person from Impact Wrestling do a run-in in those 8 months of storyline that we've talked about. So now it's like, okay, now we got to give a little bit back to Impact Wrestling. Okay. You know, because in 8 days after, they have their pay-per-view, I think, in Nashville. And Christian Cage is going to take on Kenny Omega Friday for the Impact title. It's the opening match. Yes, I know what you're saying. Well, they're doing it like tonight. They want to hook people in from minute number one, blockbuster match. Interesting how it's for the Impact Wrestling heavyweight title. Curtain jerker. Tonight, Gallows and Anderson versus the Dark Order. The Dark Order is amazingly over. And the fans went batshit when they heard the Dark Order getting a title shot versus Gallows and Anderson. Jay Cause, I didn't forget about you, brother. I'm going to get into that next. So Dark Order finally gets a shot at tag titles. Oh, no, no, we're going to have an extra match. Hangman Page and the Dark Order versus the Elite. And if Hangman Page and the Dark Order win, then they get a title shot. Not that if any of the members of the Elite win, you're a champion. No, you have to beat the Elite to get a title shot, where everybody else gets title shots. But they have to have this, and guess what? They lost. So now the Dark Order get a title shot anyway, but it's Gallows and Anderson for the Impact Championships. I swear to you, everybody, I went into the bathroom, I brushed my teeth, I gargled with mouthwash, I came in, the match was over. I'm like, that was like 3 minutes. Anybody take notice on like how little time they give for Impact Wrestling? I mean, it feels like, and Camille's appearance today was great. I love Camille. We've talked about that many times before. But even her segment to hype up the match with Layla Hirsch, it felt like it was 20 seconds long. All right, we got to put her on. Let's just throw it on there. You know, quick, quick, quick. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Gallows and Anderson versus Dark Order. Okay, Impact Wrestling title. Hurry, all right, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. All right, you know, Friday. Obviously, Friday's going to end in a clusterfuck. Because they're going to have a match at All Out. Did you hear those loud CM Punk chants tonight when Christian came out to confront Kenny Omega? Not the response. I mean, Christian won the crowd over. You throw a Pittsburgh reference. I mean, come on. Christian is a Hall of Famer. He's a master. He knows the deal. They know exactly what's going on. This is what... It is similar to Becky Lynch and Raw. You know, the fans want her back. So every time Charlotte comes out there, loud, 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 Becky chants. But here in AEW, CM Punk, you know, he's been gone for much longer. And obviously people are praying to God that AEW allows CM Punk to cut a pipe on WWE, which could happen. But, you know, to announce Christian versus Kenny Omega... For the AEW title in Chicago, I don't think it's the match that a lot of people wanted to see. Who knows? Could be a storyline. Could end up not happening. Got to let it play out. But still, fans tonight, extremely loud with CM Punk chants. So, let me I want to give a special shout out to Jay Carlos. You're very welcome, my friend. DT, your show's amazing. Thank you for all you do, man. And the DT Familia, all of you out there, is amazing as well. In my opinion, do I really think WWE will be for sale? Do I think AEW is really not competition for WWE like Vince said? This guy is nuts. Much love. This is going to be the Jay Carlo show. Look, I talked about it a little bit yesterday on Patreon. I don't think WWE is for sale very in the near future. 3 to 5 years, possibly. A lot of people think that all these releases, 40 to 50 people since April, is them tightening everything up to prepare for a sale. I don't believe that at all. They have some serious commitments to Peacock, serious commitments to Fox, and this is, in my opinion... Because I think a lot of people out there just aren't prepared, you know, for inflation. You know, I brought this up yesterday. You know, I don't want to get off topic with wrestling, but I'm going to make my point. How many of you out there have gone to a supermarket lately? Or maybe use Instacart or Amazon Fresh or wherever you buy. And you just browse through steaks. And one steak is $40. Not cooked from a restaurant with mushrooms and gravy and mashed potatoes and vegetables all in a nice styrofoam plate for you. No, a raw piece of meat is $40, and it's not even filet mignon. Gas is almost double where I live. The prices for some shit out there is crazy. It's crazy. And a lot of people are fearing that we're on the verge of inflation. I don't know if anybody's taken notice, but WWE shirts... are up several dollars. Pro wrestling tees, their shirt prices, yes, You could lower it, but then you don't make any commission at all. Their shipping prices quietly went up a dollar or two. UPS's, you know, membership thing went up. You want to reschedule a package? Yeah, no problem. $9.99. It used to be $6.99 or $5.99. So WWE getting rid of a lot of wrestlers. This is the Nick Khan effect. He went in there and said, why do we need all these people? Why do we need a group of wrestlers just for 205 Live? Why do we need a group of wrestlers for this or for that? We want to give some people work. We want to test out some matches. Let's give people a dark match. Everybody was butthurt about Karrion Kross losing the match. Everybody was butthurt about others. Not one person yet has brought up to me, DT, what the hell they doing with Austin Theory? He's lost 6 dark matches in a row for WWE. He's getting squashed like a grape. Nobody's paying attention to that. I'm not concerned at all. They're just trying to give people work and have them perform in front of live crowds and give fans live. That's old school. That's 20 years ago. So no, I don't think WWE is selling anytime soon. But I will tell you, I would not be surprised in the next 3 to 5 years because, let's be honest, there is no John Cena on the horizon. Like the next John Cena, the next Steve Austin, the next Rock. Remember when John Cena did an interview about 1.5-2 years ago and John Cena said something like, right now, there is no one go-to person in WWE. Like, it's a group effort. That's the nice way of saying that WWE does not see the mega, mega, unbelievable, giant superstar in the very near future. Kofi Kingston, inspiring. Daniel Bryan, inspiring. But 5 years from now, who's going to be in a major player? 46 years old, 50 years old, whatever he is, you know. Anybody actually know how old he is? He's going to be in his 40s. I think Riddle is going to be one of the biggest stars there. You know, Big E is going to be a big star. But does anybody feel that we're going to see anything on the nuclear level like Rock or Austin or Shawn Michaels or, you know, any? No. So 3 to 5 years, I think that is very possible. Very possible. Getting back to AEW and Jay Collis, thank you again, my brother. He loves Brian Cage. He is amazing. For some reason, he reminds him of a young Dave Bautista. By the way, Parker Bordeaux was one of the security guards on NXT yesterday. I thought that was pretty cool. He was one of the NXT during the Adam Cole, Kyle. By the way, no loser leaves WWE. No loser leaves NXT stipulation. Very interesting. Maybe Adam Cole did work out a new deal with WWE. Stay tuned. Brian Cage reminds him of Dave Bautista on Evolution. Hopefully AEW doesn't screw him up. Also, CM Punk versus MJF is money. What do I think? CM Punk, I think, has to be a clear-cut babyface for the foreseeable future. He's got to be the voice of the AEW fans. Not the voice of the voiceless. He's got to be on behalf of them. The Elite, come on, the Young Bucks are awesome as heels. I mean, they've been heels before. But I watch people on social media that are huge Young Bucks fans, and they are brokenhearted. Why are they acting like this? Why are they being like this? Why are they doing this? Oh my God, it's fucking entertainment. They're still the same great people that you adored and enjoyed. So CM Punk has got to be a babyface for the foreseeable future. It would be pretty awesome to see CM Punk and MJF have a promo exchange. Wow, I mean, boy, I don't know if that's even a good idea. Because if CM Punk hands MJF his lunch, fans would love it. But I don't think it would hurt MJF. You know, no, I take that back. No, I actually think that would be pretty epic. You almost feel like when CM Punk is out there one day, MJF's got to come out there and cut a promo and just make fun of his UFC career. You know, I'm not saying Max Caster should be taking a dig at AJ, but yeah, I think that would be pretty cool. Now, as far as Brian Cage goes, Boy. Next week, Brian Cage versus Ricky Starks. And it felt like they teased that no one is going to be around ringside, or no one's going to interfere. Sure, someone could end up interfering. I am not happy with AEW's use of Brian Cage at all. And I am a little bit concerned of Brian Cage's future in AEW. The guy should have been so much higher on the food chain. And I don't care how much AEW regrets that Cody comment in the parking lot, we're a light heavyweight company. It is proven they have done shit with a majority of those heavyweights. Yeah, Lance Archer gets an IWGP belt. That's not even an AEW championship. Miedo is fucking awesome, but Miedo is, you know, not as big as Brian Cage or Hobbs or Archer. I mean, you know, Miedo, I think, is a little smaller than that. But Brian Cage, I truthfully believe, seriously, I think this time next year, that guy is not in AEW. I almost feel like WWE's got to pick that guy up. I mean, sure, it would be interesting to see what WWE does with him, but remember what I said before about that we're not hiring anybody in their 30s, you know, that are trying to become wrestlers. Yes, Brian Cage is already an established wrestler. But if you think that WWE is going to suddenly stop pushing people in NXT based on their age or their size, okay, you want to say, all right, they didn't do it this week because it was so close and they got TakeOver coming up and they can't really divert from there. Okay, let's see a month from now. A month from now will be September 11th, 9/11. Probably not the best day to do it, but 4 weeks from today, let's look at NXT and let's see what has changed. Something tells me not much, not much. You're going to see people that are not utilized all the, I tell you this much, man, getting back to AEW, I cannot believe it. I cannot believe it. I could not stand Everrise. I don't know, and it's not because they're just an AEW. I'm not one of those that does that. But these two guys with Danny Garcia the last 2 weeks, the little bit of comedy fodder that they're doing outside the ring, I think I've kind of figured it out. WWE decided to make them a little goofy with the podcasting stuff. But when they were going out there, they were pretty much squashed like grapes all the time. I don't like the 2.0 thing because, in my opinion, AEW has too many people that use the numbers as their name. We got one. We got minus one. We got five. We got 10. We got someone who used to be the perfect 10. We got 2.0, 1.0, you know, what's Matt Hardy's group? He's like, 2.0? What is that? Seriously. You can't even use that as a good grade in school, 2.0. Maybe it should have been 4.0. But these two guys entertained me the last 2 weeks. These guys entertained me the last 2 weeks. I think these guys are going to entertain me next week. 2.0. The former Everrise versus Sting and Darby Allin in a street fight. No holds barred, whatever. Anything goes. That's for Sting. That's for Sting. So Sting could just brawl into the crowd. He could brawl to the back. He could do this. He could do that. And the focus will be Darby Allin in the ring. We're probably going to get some interference as well. But Harris, I don't give a shit they were 3.0 before WWE. I don't care if they were 4.0, 1.1, 98.6, 101.1, 109, 99. There's too many people with numbers in AEW. I'm serious. If you actually think about it, there's too many numbers. But I thought they were great today. I thought they were great. What else do we get today? Okay. One little mistake tonight, in my opinion, and it's a small one, it's not a big deal. And thank you, Jay Carlos, again, for the generosity. That's very, very kind of you, and that really does help a lot. And I will shout out, you know what? It's only fair that I shout out everybody else right now, too. BC Reviews 51, much love. Here to support. WWE contacted him yesterday to try to buy the Tough Enough 2 trophy that he has when Jackie Gator sold it. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that about you. And he's in shock that WWE wants it. I tell you this much, it's not buyer's remorse, but I'm getting married September 3rd of next year. I bought that first ever autographed figure of Karrion Kross, and I won the auction for the first ever autographed figure of Scarlett. I have the first ever. And I want to give it to both of them. I'm not kidding. I think they probably would find it cool that for their own private collection and memory that they have their first ever figure that ever had an autograph on it. But, you know, I haven't had a chance to contact him, but if he says to me, no, DT, you have it. I'm going to tell him, I got to be honest with you, man. I want to keep it, but, you know, I got a wedding to worry. I got to put some fundage together. So it'd be great if WWE called me. But look, hopefully WWE gives you a good offer, man. Seriously, I hope he gives you a good offer. So, and if they, you know what, whatever they ask for, just add an extra zero to it. And if they're like, all right, then you could put an extra zero over here next time. Kidding, kidding, kidding. But that's cool, man. That's cool. Shout out to Franchise, who had surgery on Monday, recouping, hanging out, trying to get his mind off of the pain. Oxycontin does well, too. Just saying. Legally prescribed, though. But, yeah, see what offer they give you. And, you know, if you want to DM me privately and let me know, I'm a little curious. I won't tell anybody, but, yeah, very cool. Shout out to Nier once again. Rojo Bear would like to see AEW sign Daniel Garcia and Wheeler Yuta. Now, Wheeler Yuta, I mentioned it 2 weeks ago, that guy is pretty damn good in the ring. I don't know where he fits in as far as AEW goes. They have him with Best Friends right now. I don't know. There's something about it that doesn't click with me with Wheeler Yuta as a best friend. It almost feels like Wheeler Yuta will ultimately turn on Best Friends, and they'll probably have him have a program with Orange Cassidy. You know, maybe, maybe. It just does, just feels random. I mean, I think they will sign him if they haven't already. You know, putting him in Best Friends is pretty high profile. So I think that could very well help. I think that could happen. I really do. Shout out to Big Armada 88 again. Thank you very much, my friend. And shout out to Nero Fay once again, my brother. Tuning in all the way from Israel. So thank you very much. And thank you all for hanging out tonight. Much love as always. Don't forget, tomorrow night I'll be over here. We're giving away that big Foco Bray Wyatt bobblehead that just came out. I have them inside. I didn't take them out of the box. I'll show you tomorrow. So the one mistake I think AEW did tonight, I had to do with Lucha Boy. I almost said Lucha Boy. Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. They're getting a tag team title shot next week against the Young Bucks. When the Elite were in the ring and there was 10 of them, and then Christian Cage went in the ring, and it was 10 on 1. Well, actually, he was on the rampway. It was 10 on 1. And Christian's like, you know, he didn't say it, but he's got backup. And here comes Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, okay, it's 10 on 3. You know what I mean? Like, it's still like a big difference. Like, there should have been, I think, some more people that would have came out. But that's, if that's the only thing I could say that I was like a little air with, that shows you how good tonight's AEW Dynamite was. It really was. Chris, I can't hook up painkillers, man. No, no, no. No illegal activity. So, getting back to Daniel Garcia. He took on Darby Allin tonight. A decent match. A lot of comedy fodder once again with 2.0 and Sting. And, you know, after the match was over, Darby with the coffin drop. Then 2.0 that you see in the corner, they're taking their jackets off. So you know there's going to be interference. They start attacking Darby and Sting, throwing a little bit of offense in there. And, you know, look, he's obviously a lot slower than what he was before. But, again, 2.0 selling great tonight. And I think next week's show is going to have some legit comedy in there. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. If one thing that Tony Khan could really take from tonight's episode is you didn't need all the over-the-top stuff. I think they pop a excellent rating today. You know, if you dissect the matches other than the opening match, the other stuff was good, but it wasn't superb. And let's give a little credit to Chris Statlander. I have said this in the past. One of Chris Statlander's biggest problems is she does a couple of moves too many. And remember I compared it to that video game that she's starting to run out of energy and the energy is next to zero and then she tries to do some big move and it screws up. I don't know where this leaves Nyla Rose. When they mentioned how Chris Statlander was, I think, the number two ranking, as soon as you heard that tonight, you knew that she was going over today. You're not going to screw with that number two ranking. You don't have her go this high and then go back down. But she had a match with Nyla Rose, and I tell you, Chris Statlander was excellent today, didn't do too much, and she did a beautiful 450, but I think a lot of people were a little annoyed that the match went only a 2-3 minutes, 4 minutes tops. I don't even think it went 4 minutes. And that's really it for women's wrestling tonight. I mean, Britt cutting the promo, fine. All right, we're going to close out the main event Friday. And look, remember, one of the objectives for Rampage was to showcase women a little bit more. Even though it's only a one-hour show, in the future, I think you have to have at a minimum two women's matches on that Friday show. Shout out to Benjamin. Have a good night, my friend. By the way, we're going to be done in about 20 minutes, so we're going to start tightening this up a little bit. Now, Rampage Friday is pretty much set. You have Christian versus Kenny Omega for the Impact Heavyweight Championship. We have Miro taking on Fuego del Sol. If he wins, he gets a contract with AEW. Now, Kip Sabian had surgery, I think in May, somewhere around May. And at that time, it was anticipated 4 to 6 month recovery. It could very well be that Kip Sabian makes a return on Friday. The only problem is it's for the TNT Championship. I think AEW, no, you know what, tonight, this is probably, I think, the most stupidest thing. Fuego del Sol, if he wins, he gets a contract. Oh, you know what? Maybe AEW will do the rare thing and have a DQ finish. Maybe that could happen. Because the title's on the line, too. So in order for him to get a contract, he'd have to win the TNT title as well. I don't think anybody wants to see that right now. So we have Britt Baker versus Red Velvet. Red Velvet, suddenly, big heel. I don't know where this leaves, like, Jade Cargill out of all of this. And by the way, I got to bring this up. Andrade, he's going to take on Pac at All Out. All Out is 3 weeks away. Do you remember we joked it was the third or fourth week in June? We joked on how Andrade made his debut. Matt Sydal walks by. And like I said at that time, it should have been like Morocco and Buddy Rogers' corner. He's making his debut. He's all fancy and all hooked up. Soon as you walk by, you disrespect like that, he should have beat the living crap out of Matt Sydal. They had a match, what, 2 or 3 weeks later? I am Andrade. I am big tough guy. Every 3 weeks. Remember I said every 3 weeks. Here's a little piece of info for you. And I double-checked it before I did the show tonight. Andrade made his debut on June 4th, 2021. Andrade is in that company already 9 weeks. He has had a total of one match against Matt Sydal that went about 3 to 4 minutes. He is going to, unless he has a match next week, which was not advertised, and you know they would have advertised it, if his next match is at All Out, that means Andrade would have been in that company 12 weeks, 3 months, one match. How you like those smoke and mirrors for you? And big tough guy. I give the limo. How stupid is this? Every week, I love Chavo. Nice to see him back. Every week, I offer you limos. We offer you limos. We pick you up. We want to give you soap. Give that to Corbin. It's getting played out. You don't want my limos? We don't want this. We don't. No, no, no. I am Andrade. Tough guy. I wrestle every 9 weeks. I show you what I got. 9.5 weeks. Smoke and freaking mirrors with Andrade. Another fun match tonight. As we were saying earlier, you know, I don't feel that he fits in yet, but Wheeler Yuta and Best Friends, they lost to Matt Hardy and Private Party. The Bunny got involved. Jack Evans got involved. Nyla Rose got involved. Chris Statlander got involved. Private Party, man, I got to tell you, seriously, I absolutely love their gimmick. They are talented in the ring. And, you know, I think they work great with Matt Hardy. And they are learning so much from Matt Hardy right now behind the scenes. Like I say, you need veterans, Hall of Famers in that company to guide and tutor the people of tomorrow, the stars of tomorrow. Now, I got to say this before I forget. Anyone pick up on something tonight with Paul White? Anybody notice something tonight? Not the new music, which is actually not that bad. Anybody notice something tonight? Was it just me? But Paul White was in excruciating pain. He walked down that rampway, and it looked like when he tried to, like, climb up the apron, it looked like he grimaced 2 times in pain. When he entered the ring, yes, they were doing the stare down with Who Dat, and I have something to say about that in a minute. But even when he gave the choke slam to Aaron Solo, he didn't move at all. I think he was in great pain tonight. I don't know if he hurt himself. Go back and watch it. It looked like he was in pain. Maybe I was just imagining something, but it really looked like it to me. And I usually don't, you know. That segment with Tony Schiavone and his son and Who Dat and Aaron Solo, and you know, nothing personal against Who Dat, but I just can't stand this motherfucker. I don't even want to see his get his ass kicked, but that was one of the most moronic, stupid segments in 2021 so far for AEW, and I'm going to prove it to you right now. If you didn't see AEW tonight, get a little look at this. Who Dat, QT Marshall, that is Tony Schiavone's son on the left. Well, that would be Who Dat's right side. And QT Marshall punches him in the stomach, and Aaron Solo is holding him back so he can't obviously do anything to QT Marshall. Now, meanwhile, while this is all going on, QT Marshall is demanding an apology from Tony Schiavone. Now, I want you to look at this closely. Tony Schiavone's son gets punched in the stomach, and he's got both of his hands on his legs and just standing there watching, just watching, just watching. He gets punched in the stomach. Aaron Solo is supposed to be holding him back so he can't get to his dad. They're pulling his dad away. And he's standing there, and as QT Marshall is telling Tony Schiavone, apologize, he's got his hands on his knees like, oh, I got to take a shit. It, no emotion. He stood there. Oh, my God. At my worst, the shit that I did 15 years ago was never like, go back and watch that segment. They're supposed to be holding him back. You're supposed to improvise and act like you're struggling to get away. He's got his hands on his legs like he's ready to do this. What was that game when we were kids? Patty, what was that? I feel like I'm doing like the... He's got his hands on his hips. He just do the Macarena. Awful. Fucking awful. Go back and watch that segment. Watch that segment. Patty cake. I know what some of you are saying. Wait, DT, you played patty cake when you were a kid? Malachi Black, awesome promo today. Simple to the point. I know WWE totally misused that guy, but that guy has it. That guy has it. And you could only imagine going through his mind the creativity he would love to have had in WWE. Instead, this is the difference. Malachi Black tonight, dark room, basically talking about showing the boot for Cody. Hey, you got one foot in the grave. Let me know when you want the other foot in the grave. I'm going to make you feel so desolate and alone that the only voices you talk to are the shadows. I mean, brilliant. No expletives, no crazy shit. Just verbally destroyed Cody today. If that was WWE, I'm begging all of you, somebody fight me. Remember in the dog room, somebody, anybody fight me. Well, it's hard to do when you're in a fucking hotel room with the door locked by yourself. That's like most of the internet people on social media. Easy when you're on a computer. It's not his fault. That's how WWE wrote it. Every week, fight me. Please, somebody fight. Get out of the fucking hotel room. Show up. See, when AEW, give them credit. They let their wrestlers have a little bit of creative freedom. And the guys that know what they're doing, do it well. The guys that don't know what they're doing, you know, honestly, I don't think Max Caster should have went up to Tony Khan. When Tony Khan said he usually comes up to me with the raps, you know, this and that. No, I think Max Caster should be going up to a Hall of Famer or a legend or someone else first and say, what do you think of this? So what do you think of that? You think in 2021 it's too over the top of this and that? Then you go to Tony Khan. You know, just my opinion. Just my opinion. So next week, we have, next week we got, Sean Spears versus Sammy Guevara. And Sammy Guevara is going to make a major announcement. Major. They actually said major. So it's going to be interesting to see what goes on there. We also have 2.0 versus Sting and Darby Allin in a Texas tornado match. It's because they're in Texas next week. Very smart, AEW, very smart. Britt Baker coming out doing the interview. Like I said before, she was in Pittsburgh, her hometown. She's wearing the Pittsburgh colors. Pittsburgh's been a rough year, but she's there to give them hope. Crowd ate it up. No rebel. You know, just focus on her. You know, all the towels. You had the Pittsburgh shirts. She's come a long way. Come a long way. 100 episodes ago, I was using terms like Dr. Shit Baker and Britt Bella. She reminded me of the long-lost Bella, you know, and look how far she's come. That is because of her hard work. That is her going to the schools, as we talked about before, driving 5 hours round trip just to train. That's Adam Cole, you know, forcing, and it's delivering. It's delivering. She gets the pomp and circumstance with the fireworks and the pyro and everything, and I think it's deserving. I really do. Not bad. Not bad. I did like Scott D'Amore on commentary. Yes, I'm tearing up my notes so we can condense it, but, you know, for the Impact tag title match. But again, it feels so one-sided, man. It's just like, okay, time for us to cash in a little bit, and they just give a little. Oh, yeah, we'll have the Impact titles. But you know what? I think Impact is happy. They could get even a tiny little bit of advertisement. It's worth it to them. So, you know, fine. If they're happy, then I'm happy. Jericho versus Wardlow, like I said before, the story of this match, simple. Wardlow powerbombing Jericho 8 times, totally one-sided match. MJF tries to interfere. Aubrey Edwards distracted. You know, he leaves the ringside area, not good enough. She's got to watch him walk all the way to Texas. And meanwhile, Jericho takes out the bat, hits Wardlow with it. Judas effect, 1, 2, 3, done. Next week, MJF versus Jericho. The stipulation is the Judas effect is banned, and he cannot come out to Judas as well. No theme music. If I was MJF, I would have forced Jericho to come out too. Didn't they do that in WCW with Booker T? Yes, they made him come out as G.I. Bro, but didn't they force him to come out to like some awful music too? MJF, instead of saying he comes out to silence, first of all, AEW knows what they're doing. The crowd is still going to serenade Judas next week. They're going to sing Judas, whether they hear it on the speakers or not. Now you know next week who really truly knows the song. You know, they know one verse. Hey, Judas in. Let's see if they know the other verses too. I think most of them do, Charlie. I really do. But, you know, I said 2 weeks ago that I thought Nick Gage should have been the final hurdle to get to MJF. It would have felt like it progressed like, oh my God, Jericho's willing to do anything to get his hands on MJF. Now in hindsight, I actually agree with this. Get as far away from the Nick Gage stuff as possible. Nothing against Nick Gage. Guy has paid his dues. He's paid for his sins. And, you know, he does what he does. But for a company shown on Warner Media, not a good idea. My opinion. So, that was your episode of Dynamite tonight. Pretty entertaining show. You look at the other matches. Other than the opener, nothing amazing, but good enough. But good enough. Yesterday, NXT, just to quickly go through a few things, Dakota Kai over Saray, LA Knight over Andre Chase, and we now have a match announced for NXT TakeOver. Yeah, it's a return match. We'll get to that in a moment with LA Knight. And Cameron Grimes, excuse me. Gigi Dolin defeating Amari Miller. Finally. I know a lot of you out there knew that Gigi Dolin should be pushed a lot harder than what they did the first couple of weeks. You could see them starting to do it with Mandy Rose, you know, talking to them. But, you know, WWE had big plans for Gigi Dolin. And now, look, you can't base it on 1 week of dominance, but you could tell that WWE is now going to start pushing her. And I said it a couple of weeks ago, I like JC Jane. JC Jane, remember the picture of the three of them? It gave me flashbacks to the late 80s when I used to get laughed at from the hot, sexy women in the clubs. You know, maybe not as exotic as that, but pretty close. She had a good match yesterday. Very good match. Odyssey Jones versus Trey Baxter to advance to the finals for the breakout tournament. I've said since week one it's going to be Carmelo Hayes versus Odyssey Jones. Odyssey Jones is going to go to that main roster. That guy, I really like his work. And he's from not too far from where I live, believe it or not. Bo over Drake Maverick. I'm a little concerned for Drake Maverick, to be honest with you. You know, not having Mei Ying, or, you know, remember we joked about the vape like a couple of months ago? It's like the equivalent to Spock and the Vulcan death grip. I don't know. Not feeling it. Bo is not bad, but no, that Mei Yang and the... seriously. Pete Dunne over Ilja Dragunov. Ilja Dragunov. Awesome. Awesome. Right now for TakeOver, him versus Walter is what I'm looking forward to more than anything else. And I'm just being honest here. They tore it up yesterday. I know that there's rumors that Pete Dunne's contract is up later this year. Like I told you all last week, if you do Google searches and you look at some NXT stars and you Google when they last signed their contract, you could just pretty much figure out by 2 years or 3 years when their deal is coming up. And then you could write breaking news. Here you go, everybody. Here's an exclusive tonight. My sources tell me that the USA Network was extremely pleased with the way NXT was presented yesterday. They were extremely pleased. The rating 751, very good. Very good. When you think about it, what was advertised for yesterday, going into yesterday, NXT got a pretty damn good rating. You know, for a promotion, yes, it's only 1 week, but for a promotion that for 2 weeks people are telling, that's it, Vince killed it. That's it, it's gone. That's it. Without Bronson Reed and, you know, jacked up James Ellsworth, you know, Tyler Rust, that's it, it's over. That's it, no more midgets. But we have 110-pound Saray and 115-pound Dakota Kai have a awesome match to kick off NXT. Yeah, it's changing. People, man, seriously. Walter shows up yesterday. Crowd loved it. Crowd loved it. Ted DiBiase yesterday, I think he had a couple of brain farts. You know, when he was starting to cut that promo, it was getting kind of boring quickly, but then it finally picked up a little bit. Benjamin says, midgets refer to the men. Okay. Okay. Yep. Tell me who was a midget. You look at that NXT roster. By the way, you look at the people released. Sorry. a lot of them were not midgets. What are you, Leon Ruff? Yeah, that was a shame. I don't think he should have been let go. But you look at what else? Hit Row. You know, you got two that are the same size as Leon Ruff. What midgets are you talking about? Seriously. Do we have little Ho? You know, and I'm talking like Japanese wrestler from yesteryear, not a female. Tell me what midgets you're talking about. You know, when you actually start dissecting what some of these people say, it makes zero sense whatsoever. Especially Triple H lost his power a year ago. Yeah, and they hid it from the investors. You know, Triple H wasn't a mail clerk. One of the most important roles in WWE with talent. Oh, he lost that role a year ago. Well, yeah, and investors never knew. But somehow Tom's Dick and Wrestling knew. WrestlingandRibs.com knew. But the investors didn't. Fuck the investors, right? We got to listen to Ringside News. Dan Lambert. Notice he was supposed to be on AEW today. They postponed it a week so they could focus more on Rampage, which I think is very smart. Dan Lambert will be on AEW next week, and he's bringing two UFC champions. Doesn't mean that they're champions now, but okay, I want to see what happens. Is Lance Archer going to be there next week? He wasn't there tonight. Getting back to NXT, so now I'll talk about two segments from yesterday, and that leads to the updated card for TakeOver. First off, Cameron Grimes. I could swear the 30 days is up. Can someone do me a big favor Can you pull up the date of the last takeover where Cameron Grimes lost and became LA Knight's butler? This week had to have been 30 days. I'm just curious what the date is, because he was supposed to be the butler for 30 days. So if he was, the 30 days were up last week, I don't know why he was still dressed as a butler yesterday. But it was 3 weeks ago, Sam? Really? Just 3 weeks ago? Wow. It feels like a longer than that. All right, cool. So next week, that's it. All right, okay. So June 13th. Okay, so it's right below 30 days. So it's about 28 days now, 29 days. So, okay. Yeah, about 28 days. So by next week, he's no longer the butler. As a result of yesterday, LA Knight wins. He's pushing around, talking down to Cameron Grimes. Ted DiBiase comes out. And Ted DiBiase wants LA Knight to give Cameron Grimes another title opportunity for the $1 million championship. LA Knight's totally against it. So then LA Knight has a little brainstorm. He's like, you know what, Ted? All right, here's the deal. At TakeOver 36, LA Knight will put the $1 million championship on the line against Cameron Grimes. If Cameron Grimes wins, he's the new $1 million champion. If Cameron Grimes loses, then Ted DiBiase is LA Knight's butler for a month. They are definitely not going to do skits with Ted DiBiase being a butler for LA Knight. Cameron Grimes will be your $1 million champion. It'll be the reverse of Baron Corbin. Cameron Grimes will win that title. The segment started slow yesterday, but finished solid. Now, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly yesterday, they're going to have a match at TakeOver. I don't understand people out there that are ripping on this. Why are we still getting these two guys feud? Some of the greatest feuds in history that we all loved, those feuds went on for long periods of time. Steamboat Flair, Cena, Edge. I know that's a big change. But my God, some of the greatest feuds go on for long periods of time. Why would anybody get sick of Adam Cole versus Kyler? If you're an NXT fan, no reason why you would be upset at that. Now, again, they're not doing a loser leaves NXT, which is cool. What they did do is it's going to be 2 out of 3 falls. Now, once again, I proved my point about Adam Cole and the fans that go to NXT shows. I still don't understand how people have not figured that out. The fans that attend the NXT events, these are regulars. And they appreciate more than anything people that hard work, show up, and have worked their asses off no matter how big the crowd, small the crowd was, COVID, no crowd at all. And the fans really, really enjoy Adam Cole, heel or babyface. When he had that face-to-face with Karrion Kross, you remember what went down. A lot of people said, no, Bizarro Land. No, no Bizarro Land. Adam Cole is one of the most respected wrestlers in NXT, because for people that truly followed NXT for the last 3 or 4 years, there is no question. Adam Cole is the MVP of NXT for the last 5 years. Not even close. So when you put him up on the mic against Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole shredded him apart yesterday. Kyle O'Reilly, you know, looked like a deer in headlights at points. I don't think he expected the fans to chant that hard for Adam Cole. And then when you announced the first stipulation out of the 2 out of 3 falls, talk about a wet fart. I don't need to beat you with weapons or anything like that. Straight up wrestling match. Pin or submission. That's like, hey, I'm going to make you a drink. I'm going to give you a glass of water. Crowd was like, fuck. So Adam Cole, you know, starts getting into Kyle O'Reilly's face. For 13 years, you've tried to be Adam Cole. You'll never be Adam Cole. And Adam Cole chooses the second stipulation to be a street fight. So crowd loved that. So now we have a straight up wrestling match and a street fight. Now you could almost see where this is going to go. Adam Cole will out wrestle Kyle O'Reilly. Kyle O'Reilly will beat Adam Cole in the street fight because Adam Cole was saying that Kyle O'Reilly doesn't have a, you know, like anger or violence in him. Like he's just, you know, so you can see where that's going. So they then get physical with each other. It seemed like William Regal was not going to announce the third stipulation, maybe until next week. But they start brawling with each other. Security can't control it. So, you know, William Regal gets so mad sometimes when he announces things. You know, I knew this was going to happen. I knew this was going to happen. Steel cage. He's like blood pressure 180 over 140. He just gets so pissed off. So that's the third stipulation. Steel cage. It'll end in a steel cage. We'll see if we get any swerves or surprises. But that's going to be the main event. That is going to be the main event. I know what some of you are going to say. But, you know, again, these two guys, their first two matches, they've torn it up. But the first match they had, it almost felt like that first match should have been the end of it, in my opinion. But, hey, they've done so good together, I'm not going to complain about it. Another match, like I said earlier, Walter is going to defend the NXT UK Championship versus Ilya Dragunov. And, man, I'm so looking forward to that. I hope that match goes 25 minutes minimum. Yes, Soulfly, I agree. War Games! I can't say it loud. My throat is still a little sore from Friday. I was so sick last week, man. I feel so much better now, but I got to be careful. So we're going to start wrapping this up, everybody. I hope that match goes 25 to 30 minutes. And it could possibly end up being in the top five matches of the year. That's how good people are anticipating that match to be. It's going to be sweet and epic. It's going to be interesting because of Walter's reign as champion. I mean, soon he'll be in Bob Backlund territory, you know? Raquel Gonzalez versus Dakota Kai for the NXT Women's Championship. It feels like there's legitimate heat between the two. They're actually pushing this storyline very well, but I don't think title change is anywhere near happening. Karrion Kross defending the NXT Heavyweight Championship against Samoa Joe. You know, look, I will not criticize anybody out there that thinks Joe very well maybe winning this. If people think that, then WWE's done right with this storyline. And I said it since the night he lost to Jeff Hardy on Raw, that they pulled back on Karrion Kross to make it feel that Joe has a legit shot. And then right before you get the takeover, remember what I said? Karrion Kross is going to start taking people like sacrificial lambs. When he gets his hands on Jeff Hardy, he's going to beat the fuck out of him. And I don't think there's any chance at all that Samoa Joe wins this championship. Unless we get some major, major swerve somewhere and Cross is stripped, but I don't see Joe pinning. But I think that match is going to be a lot better than people think. It's got to be very, very fine. I wish there was a stipulation, no disqualification or something with this, especially with Cross choking him out and Joe, you know, relinquishing his position and assaulting other people. You almost feel like you want this to be like a no DQ match. Something else that happened on NXT, the continued progression of Indy Hartwell and Dexter Lumis. I complained for 3 months that storyline went nowhere. I mean, Capital Wrestling Center is this big, and for some reason they can't bump into each other in the back. They dragged that shit out for 2.5 extra months because of, you know, COVID and Thunderdome. And yes, they had some fans at the Capital Wrestling Center, but they were waiting to be able to tour for the other roster. Now they're finally starting to advance some storylines big time. I don't know why people, when Indy Hartwell was getting ready and Candice LeRae is like, do you need protection? And she's like, I'm a former champion. I don't need protection. She was showing her guns. She was showing her guns. People were trying to joke like they were talking about sex. She showed her guns. She's like, no, I don't need protection. Maybe Candice LeRae was insinuating that, but the whole premise of yesterday was Johnny Gargano and Candice LeRae are almost playing parents. And Indy Hartwell is their daughter. And Dexter Lumis shows up pretty fancy dressed. I should have took the picture and showed you all tonight, but with the roses, colored mostly black. And then, you know, they plant the GPS device on, I guess, on Indy. So they knew exactly where she was. Or maybe it was in the car. I don't know. It couldn't have been in the car because I think Dexter Lumis was driving. So it had to be in Indy Hartwell's bag or something. So they go to a restaurant. Candice LeRae's caught in the restaurant. She's got the walkie-talkie. Then they do a goofy comedy segment with the cake. Gargano struggling, and the cake goes in Dexter Lumis's face. And, you know, she takes a little of the cream from his face. You know, I said yesterday on Patreon, I think the first words out of Dexter Lumis's mouth is going to be, I love you. I don't know. But I liked the progression yesterday. The thing that made me laugh the most is when they talked about Austin Theory, that he's like, didn't they say like he's shirtless somewhere, like lost? I laughed. I mean, yes, he's been doing dark matches for WWE. But I thought that was funny yesterday. I thought it was pretty good segments. The Hit Row versus Legado del Fantasma. There's something missing there. I mean, I don't know. I mean, them with the garbage can, isn't that weird? We were talking about that on Monday with Elias, that Elias should add the garbage can with the fire and throw the guitar in the ring and, you know, for the fans. They did similar yesterday with Hit Row with the mask. But what was weird about it was they were indoors in like a garage. You know, if you're going to be in front of a garbage can and be like street and you got a garbage can lit on fire and you're throwing stuff in there, I don't know anybody who said, let's do it in the garage. I mean, they should have been in the parking lot. They should have been somewhere else, but they did it inside a freaking garage, and it looks stupid, in my opinion. It just looked really, really stupid. So, anyway, that was NXT yesterday. 751 in the rating. Not bad. Not bad. I'm telling you, NXT is not as bad as people think. NXT needed to go back to their roots. Something that I said in February of 2020, Mish and I talked about it in March of 2020, when AEW was on Wednesdays, you remember those conversations. It was not fair to the up-and-coming talent in NXT that is supposed to be developmental and being thrown on nationwide TV, going up against a company with a $150 million TV deal and billionaire owners and signing big-time stars. And these people have this unneeded, unnecessary pressure that even if Triple H said 1,000 times to them, do not think about AEW. We're totally different. This is not a war. Just do what you could do. Those wrestlers, there's pride. Every time somebody in NXT would hear, NXT is developmental. We're not developmental. What are you talking about? That's disrespectful. No, you're developmental. Developmental. That's what it was. That's what made Sasha Banks and Bayley and NXT TakeOver Brooklyn so freaking special. Asuka's undefeated streak. That's what made it special. People coming up, it was developmental. It felt like a true alternative to WWE. And then once AEW, it's not AEW's fault, But once AEW showed up on Wednesday nights and started doing what they were doing, there was this unforced pressure put on people. And then you saw WWE changing storylines and shifting and doing goofy shit and trying to be too much WWE. And they lost the vision. They lost the focus. I will end with this. I don't care about the fan that said yesterday at NXT, we were NXT. Yeah, that's a catchy, emotional thing to say. It gets you hits on social media. But no, man, there's so many great talents in NXT. I mean, people seem to forget Io Shirai and, you know, Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, Karrion Kross, and you got Samoa Joe doing a little bit of work at Kushida and Pete Dunne and a lot of other talents. MSK, which are very good. Tommaso Ciampa, man, that stuff last week, people blaming Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano. Those are not NXT fans, everyone. Because Tommaso Ciampa is having, how many times you heard me say this on the shows? He's having a time of his life right now. Him and Timothy Thatcher are so fun to watch. That motherfucker moves around in that ring faster than people 20 years younger than him. And people are blaming it on Ciampa. Why? Because he's got a little gray in his beard. And people run with that because it's attractive. It's clickbait. I get it. I've been on the internet since 1993. You know, it's clickbait. 20 years ago, and I'll leave you with this, 20 years ago, I bought wrestling-news.com in 1999. I've had that website since 2000, I think. It was Wrestle Guide first, and it became wrestling-news.com. And, you know, I always said, you know, I don't want to be first. I want to be right, give you straight-up wrestling news. 20 years ago, when the Monday Night Wars were coming to an end, what you got as far as clickbait is you would see a legitimate wrestling news story or maybe an interview recap. And at the bottom of the website, you would see a link. And I always use this for example, you know, because Booker T was on SmackDown at the time. And it would be a tease. It would say, Booker T on Raw this Monday? Click here for details. And yeah, I'd be stupid enough to click it and others. And you click on it, it goes to a website. You hit all these pop-up ads because that's how people made money at that time, pop-up ads. And then you click on it and it says, will Booker T be at Raw Monday? And then on the bottom it would say, no, he's a SmackDown wrestler. I'm like, you motherfuckers. And people would do that every single day. They didn't have the YouTube stuff. They didn't have Twitter or Facebook that you could clickbait a thumbnail, get everybody to click on it, and check out a podcast and get ad revenue or this and that. Or people don't do the research and they believe most of the stuff that is said. That's why when I opened up tonight about the Max Caster stuff, I saw the rumors yesterday he was suspended for 2 months without pay. Do I think AEW is going to reprimand him? Sure. Somebody's got to pay the price for what happened. Just like with Cornette. Cornette, they had to do something. They couldn't just be straight up and say, look, we didn't think there was anything wrong with it at the time. We had heard him say it before, and we just thought it was a dry joke, and, you know, we sincerely apologize. You know, people are not triggered to the point. I know we're in a woke cancel culture world now, but I truly believe if NWA would have done that, I think their true fans would have been like, hey, you know, everybody, you know, makes some mistakes. They were man enough to apologize. No problem. They thought, oh, my God, no. Fuck this. Fuck NWA. I'm not going to watch it unless Cornette is fired. So now, Tony Khan, instead of just stepping up and say, look, this is on me. There's no excuse why that aired. And I apologize, and that's it. No. He's got to answer people. No, I was in the back doing things when that aired. And like I said, if you really want to entertain yourself, do some Google searches on Daly's Place. It's not just there for AEW. Go look at the Daly's Place. Hey, I want to have a big birthday party there. And you start looking at the acoustics behind the scenes and you understand when you have a microphone and you're talking in the microphone, that there are big speakers in the back and there's TV monitors in rooms. And you have tons and tons of wrestlers and people, and they're looking on the monitors. The only thing that they don't do in the back, they don't do it like the WWE skits, where they have the monitor, and they're always like this, looking at it. You see how WWE, whenever a wrestler's looking at somebody on a monitor, they always got to look sideways. They don't do that. It's everywhere. Not one person spoke up for those 8 days to say, I think that was a little bit much, Max. He thought it was okay. He thought it was, everybody thought it was okay. So instead of just manning up, but you see, because of the dominoes and because of other things, you know, I was busy doing other things. Cancel DT, Darren. Darren saying cancel DT. Anyway, with that said, everyone, I want to wrap this up. Last week, I went 2 hours and I think 45 minutes. So we're almost an hour less today, which is great. Like I said, I want to keep it under 2 hours. My goal is to do 90 minutes. I don't want to make anybody feel like they're being gypped. I'm just trying to condense and be a little bit more to the point. Sometimes I ramble and I tell stories that go way too long, so I'm really trying hard because, believe me, I tell you, the fact that I'll be asleep tonight by 12:30, you know, instead of 2:30, you know, when you get my age, it actually does make a difference. So I'm going to get out of here. I want to thank you all for tuning in. For all of you with the Super Chat, especially BC Reviews and Jay Carlos especially, thank you for your generosity. It helps more than you can imagine. I hope if you're around tomorrow, you join me for Q&A, mailbag, live calls. That show will go 2 hours tomorrow. We're going to go from 10:05 to midnight, and that is the goal. So my plan is we'll take calls all throughout the night. We'll just chat about whatever. The chat room will be on the screen, so everybody's comments will be seen and heard, and we'll have a good time. And, very important for AEW fans. When I got sick last week, Mish and I did a Saturday show. We talked about the releases. And everybody loved it. They loved the 4 or 5 p.m. start time. Saturday afternoon, we were done before 7. And I was like, oh, my God, finishing at 7 o'clock instead of 1 in the morning is incredible. So I put a poll up in the community section this week and asked all of you out there, do you want me to keep the Don Tony show on Friday nights? Or do you want me to move it to Saturday afternoons? Or do you want me to move it to Saturday afternoons, but for now, for the first couple of weeks, do an AEW Rampage live watch along? And almost 80% of you out there, and there were hundreds and hundreds of votes, almost 80% of you out there chose either move the Don Tony show to Saturday afternoons, or move the show to Saturday afternoons, but for now, do a watch-along for Rampage on Fridays. So, for the remainder of August, the Don Tony show will still be on Friday nights. For the next 3 weeks, since Friday is the debut of Rampage, next week, people are anticipating CM Punk, don't know. The week after, who knows if someone else shows up? This is going to start really rolling quick because of the pay-per-view. So for the next 3 weeks, the Don Tony show will still be on Fridays. Here's the change. Instead of it starting at 10:05, it's going to start at 10. I know it's only 5 minutes difference. But from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m., we're going to do a live watch along here of Rampage. And the chat room will be visible on the screen, so you could all react to Rampage live as it happens. We'll do a watch-along. It's only going to be 1 hour. So it's going to be really, really fast, and it's going to be fun. From 11 to 12, we'll do a SmackDown recap. We'll cover any news that breaks between now and Friday. We'll talk about the AEW rating and anything else that breaks. So that is the schedule for the next 3 weeks. Starting September, the Don Tony show will be on Saturdays. We don't know what time yet. I'm going to let you all vote on the time, but I have a feeling it's going to be around 5 p.m. Eastern. This way, it's not too late in the evening. For my international friends, it's a decent time for all of you as well. And we get done early. And my Friday nights could be free. Now, if Rampage is kicking ass so good that when we hit September, people are really enjoying the watch-alongs, then I will still do watch-alongs on Friday night. The only reason why I don't have a problem with it is because Friday's only be a 60-minute show. When Rampage goes off the air, as do I. So that is the change that is going to be coming up. So we may end up doing Friday and Saturday, but at least splitting it up. We only have an hour on Fridays, and then Saturday will probably be like a 90-minute show. So much love, everybody. I can't thank you enough for the support. 100th episode of Wednesday Night Dynamite, and here's to another 100. And before you leave, if you don't mind, if you could throw me a thumbs up, hit that like button. The more you do it, well, you can only do it once, but the more of you out there that do that, that tells YouTube that you enjoyed the show and they will recommend it to others. If you're not a subscriber yet, subscribe. As you see, you become a member, you subscribe. If you contribute something, you buy me a coffee and a cannoli, it always shows up on the screen now. It's the least I could do to thank you. So subscribe, it costs nothing. Tell your friends. There is a whole wrestling world out there that probably doesn't even know this channel exists. So if you know anyone out there you think that would enjoy the channel, you know, let them know about it. And if you're new to the channel, welcome aboard. Post your comments in the comment section. I always interact with everyone. Now, don't forget, this Monday, we have the Bray Wyatt giveaways. There was no winner this past Monday. They didn't claim their prize, so it carries over to next Monday. Next Monday, we have two prizes. And then tomorrow night, we give away the Bray Wyatt Foco. So it's pretty cool. It's about this big. So I'll take it out of the box. I'll show you all tomorrow. And yeah, that's it. So thank you, everybody. Much love. And you know what? Damn, I cannot end the show without giving some love to our VIP family members, our subscribers. These are all, you could become a subscriber as well if you want. And I want to thank these great people. And I hope you join me tomorrow. I'm telling you, tomorrow is, so for some of you out there, you tell me that Thursdays are your favorite show that I do. You know, which I love that, but at the same time, I say to myself, man, the amount of work that I do for the other shows, and Thursdays is the easiest show that I do, and everybody seems to enjoy that more than anything else. So, you know, tune in tomorrow. I think you'll have a lot of fun, and you could ask anything, and I take questions, and I'm out of here. Good night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.